You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
It wasn't a New Testament thing that Jesus came down and laid His hands on them, said, "You're healed." They touched Him. God has been healing from the beginning to the end. And the only thing that hinders us is our lack of belief. And this is what happens to us sometimes when we want or we try to talk to people about Jesus and being saved, is a lack of belief. God can't save us. God can't heal us. I'm too evil. We have a friend of ours that supposedly gave his life to Jesus 20 years ago. And he now believes that he's too evil for God to save, for God to heal, for God to bring back. He's too evil and he can't be touched anymore. Let's look at what God says about being too evil. See if we can be. This is my favorite character, as you guys will always know. This is about Peter. Peter and Luke. Okay, just a second. Did I forget to give you a scripture? Yes, I did. Or I gave you an extra one. Oh, well, you got one for half the price. Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the Word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little bit from the land, and He sat down and He taught the multitudes. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch into the deep and let down your nets for the catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish in their net, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men." Now, it's interesting. I always love how God does things and how our Lord does. Everywhere else where Jesus speaks, we know what He said. Everywhere else where it records Jesus sitting down and speaking to the public, we know what He said. We don't know what He said here. We have no idea what Jesus preached that day, what it was about, what He was speaking on. And the reason for that is God didn't want our little minds to get distracted. He wanted us to see the point here that there are none too sinful for Him. None too bad to help. None too far away that He can't reach if we'll let Him. See, Simon, and when you think about it, Jesus had such a ragtag band of guys. I mean, Simon was a fisherman. And we know that Simon wasn't educated. He says it. He wasn't rich. He was a poor fisherman that probably barely even got through what we'd call elementary school. His partners were James and John, and they were called what? The sons of thunder. He had a tax collector. He had one respectable out of the bunch, a doctor. But out of all of the people that Jesus picked to follow Him, He didn't pick the wealthy. He didn't pick the respectable. He picked to show us the common, everyday person. Out of the women that followed Him, what do we see? We have a woman being relieved of 7 demons. One who is a prostitute. Jesus didn't collect around Him the best of the best. He collected around Him the ones that He knew would show the world that there's nobody that can't get there. When we talk to people about Jesus, and if anybody ever says to you, "I'm just not good enough," you bring up some of these scriptures. You bring up this in Luke. You bring up about Paul. We can read in Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 54 and 55, where we first encounter Paul. What was Paul doing here? Paul was standing here watching a man of God be stoned to death. Paul was holding the coats. It says they were laying coats down at his feet. So Paul was just holding the coats. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I was going to pick somebody to preach my word, preach my gospel, I don't think I'd be picking somebody that just stoned one of my nice guys to death. I mean, as a human being, it would not enter into my mind to say, "I'm going to hire this geologist to work for me," if I knew that that geologist had just turned around and cost me several thousand dollars by giving work or stealing work or something else. And see, we have to look, just like Scott said, at Jesus' compassion. Paul then goes from this, if we look down in chapter 8, Paul goes from stoning and standing there saying it's okay. Paul goes, and now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose, chapter 8, verse 1, and they were scattered, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, dragging off every man, every woman, committing them to prison. Now, not only did Paul do that, but then Paul turned around and just went like crazy. And what did Jesus do? On the road to Damascus, He showed up. And He converted Paul. And we read in Paul's conversion that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul immediately went out to preach. And what happened? We Christians did it again. Paul's saved. Paul's full of the Holy Ghost. Paul's preaching in Jerusalem. God says, "I want you to go to Jerusalem. Go preach for me." And what happened? The disciples wanted to hide from this guy. They didn't believe it. They didn't have the faith. They're like, "Oh, Paul's a con man. He just read the scriptures we've been writing down, read the letters. He heard Peter on Pentecost. He's full of it. We need to watch this guy." Paul had to convince them by letting them see him and see his works. So we as Christians did it again, didn't we? We didn't believe. God came down in a brilliant, bright light. God came down and touched a man. And yet we said, I don't know if I believe that. You got proof? Is that recorded? Do I have a record of that somewhere? Did that actually happen? And Paul had to prove himself, didn't he? See, that's where sometimes we need to let the Lord work in us. Our Lord, you know, most people, when I tell them about these miracles I told you guys about that are true, as this Bible is my witness, in my mind, they're true. I have no reason to doubt them. I honestly believe that the man that I saw raised from the dead is preaching the gospel right now. I honestly believe the pastor in New York was healed of leukemia in late stages. I honestly believe his wife was, or his sister was healed of breast cancer. I honestly believe my wife is healed of her asthma. But we have to grab on and believe. If we look at those things and we say, "Oh yeah, do you have any proof? Oh yeah, who wrote it down?" Now, the Gospels that we have weren't written down when Jesus was there. They didn't have this book. They didn't have written proof. What they had was the blind guy walking around seeing. They had the leper cleansed. They had the sick healed, the dead raised. They had the real thing to hold on to. And if we look, we have the same thing. We have those miracles today. And the only thing that stops us is our lack of belief. You know, that's what stops us from going out and teaching the world how to find Jesus. That's what stops us from going out and letting the world know that our Savior, our Lord, our God loves them, is that lack of belief. You know, we don't know. We really don't know with your testimony at the funeral how many people were touched. We don't know if there's somebody there that their time was short. And they're dead today. We don't know that. Because we don't know everybody was there. But we had a young man, well, he's my age, a little older actually, Ray, get up on Sunday evening 2 weeks ago and tell about two people he knew that he hadn't told about Jesus. That he was going to tell about Jesus. And both of them went like that within a couple of days. Now, he doesn't know if anybody else told him. But God had put it in here to send him. Earlier this week, and I don't have any idea why, earlier this week, God just put it in the back of my head to go over and talk to a tool pusher about Jesus. He said, "You need to go talk to Kenny. You need to go talk to Kenny." Well, my first instinct was, why? Bad instinct! Wrong answer! God said, go do it. Well, I went and talked to Kenny. And I opened a door enough that I'll be able to talk to him when he comes back. But if Kenny doesn't come back, Kenny will never be able to tell Jesus he didn't know about Jesus. When he stands, if something happens to Kenny between now and the time he comes back, he won't be able to stand before the Lord and say, nobody told me. He won't have that excuse because he knew. He knew that Jesus Christ was his Savior. He knew that the Lord wanted to save him. And see, that's one of the things we have to be careful. Well, it's hard sometimes, and I don't know why. I think it's a human thing. You know, I see hell. God hasn't given me a personal vision like He's done many evangelists, but I've seen hell through other people's eyes, and I can't ever imagine wanting someone to go there. I mean, I can't imagine ever wanting anyone to go to hell. Ever. Especially when salvation is so simple. You know, it's not hard to be saved. The Bible makes it very plain and clear, the steps to salvation. And I'm never, ever going to stand up in front of you guys or anybody else and say that someone that accepts Jesus on their deathbed is not going to be in heaven just because somebody didn't have a baptism will dunk them in. You know, there's steps that we have to follow through in our life. But I honestly believe God opens little openings just specifically for special instances. Now, I know in real life when you're continuing to live that baptism by submersion is an extremely important thing because I have seen so many people that have given their life to Jesus and were never able to quite get into the sanctified life. We have one of our daughters. She confessed Jesus more times than we can count. She got on her knees, said she believed, and next thing you know, she was doing drugs. Next thing you know, she was robbing somebody. The day that the Holy Spirit came down on her was the day that she went under, died, was buried, and resurrected in baptism, and her life has changed day and night. And that's our promise. You know, it doesn't matter how many times God heals you or doesn't heal you. The promise is what's in the future. You know, there are several religions that they don't believe in hell. And I always say, what's the use in having heaven if you don't believe in hell? party hardy on earth, because all you're going to do is go away. What do you need eternal life if you can have fun on earth? That's not the way God works. There is a real hell. Hell is real, and it is deadly, and you will suffer. And hell is divided into many different sanctions. If we study the Bible, Jesus says they will be cast into outer darkness, the outer edges of hell. And what's that reserved for, that area? Scary. It's reserved for those that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name?" And what does he say? "Go back to earth and worship the one you worshiped there, because I never knew you." They didn't have a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus. So even those that believe they're saved, if you don't have a personal one-on-one with Jesus, every day seeking, thirsting, hungering, desiring to get closer, you could find yourself in outer darkness like that. It's a scary thought. You know, we have a loving God who's prepared mansions. Two people in their visions, two people have said, the mansions are finished. And I believe in two or more witnesses. If two prophets of different times or different places or different persuasions can come up and see the same vision, I believe in it. And both of them have said, one was the pastor who died and was resurrected. The mansions are finished, but the saints aren't ready. And the other day, a young pastor was preaching, and he said, "I don't know why, but this is the vision God has given me to tell you. The mansions are finished, but the saints aren't ready." Jesus wants to have His people working for Him ready when He comes. What good's the rapture going to be if a half a dozen people disappear and nobody's going to notice? Jesus wants His people ready. Ready to go. Ready to work. Ready to preach. Ready to teach. You know, when the Israelites left Egypt after the Passover, Paul tells us when the Israelites left Egypt, they were ready to go for two reasons. They were ready to go because they had been in bondage for 400 years plus and were set free. But they were ready to go because Paul's exact words were, there was not one lame among them. The Passover lamb had performed the miracle of healing them. So they were ready to go because they had strong, vibrant, alive bodies that were ready to go for Jesus. I told you, it doesn't matter if it's a headache or a broken arm. He doesn't care. He'll fix that headache. That's the way we need to be. Each one of us needs to spend that time quiet and know that I am God. Spend that time every day, and you'll be amazed at the miracles that will happen in your life and around you. Be still and know that I am God. Let's know that He is. Not believe it. Not have faith in it. Know. There's a difference. If we know it, it's a fact. A total, absolute fact, if you know it. If you have faith, Paul says, faith is the substance of things believed in but not yet seen. God doesn't say, be still and have faith that I am God. He says, be still and know that I am God. And through this, I will be exalted to all nations. I will be exalted to all people. Now, there has to be more to that verse. Because He's not going to be exalted if we're sitting here quietly knowing He's God. He's not going to be exalted by people driving by. He's only going to be exalted by us knowing He's God and going out and exalting Him to all the heathen, all the world. The time is short. The signs are getting closer and closer. More and more things are happening. We look at what's going on with Israel. We look at what's going on with the European Union. We look right now, they already have the chip that they can stick in your hand and track you anywhere in the world. The only thing that's stopping them from putting the chip into welfare families right now is the technology is this short of being able to put everything they know about you in that chip. They can put the chip in your hand and track you, and they can put pretty good information on you, but they haven't got the capacity yet to put every single thing about you in there. And there's already people out there that want that chip implanted in their kids so they can keep track of them. Time's short. The pastor that died, when he was told, the one thing he was told was by the angel, he says, "We're sending you back." And of course, you know, if you've been in heaven and you're walking around with an angel, last thing you want to do is go back. I don't want to go back. He says, "No, we're sending you back." And he says, "Why?" And this is his words, the angel's words. "You are to fulfill the rich man's request to send back a dead man to preach to the, quote unquote, last generation." We're the last generation, people. I honestly believe it. I don't know when, I don't know how many years, we're the last generation. The signs are pointing to it. The dead are being raised. People are being healed. As Joel says, "I will pour out my spirit upon your sons and daughters, everyone." It's coming. It's coming soon, and we got to be ready. The youth have to be ready. The old people have to be ready. The middles have to be ready. Or we're going to get, as that book says, left behind. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that thought. I don't like that at all. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and praise your name. We thank you for the fact that your Holy Spirit came down and empowered this preaching at the funeral. And we pray that someone there is touched and been saved. We thank you, Father, that your Spirit guides us each day. More than that, Lord, we want you to show us. Come into our hearts right now and open them up and show us what we need to do to be made ready, Lord. We don't know your timing. You said you would come as a thief in the night. But when we see these signs, and the signs are coming true faster and faster and faster, you said when we become more intelligent, when intelligence and brains multiply and technology multiplies, the time is near. So we know the time is near, Lord. We want you to come into our hearts right now, Lord, and show us what we need to be made ready. Purify us, Lord. Create in us a clean heart and an upright spirit, Lord Jesus. And help us to find the time and the place to be quiet and know that you are God, so that the heathen and the nations and the people will hear the word of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to preach the gospel, to go into all the nations, preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, until your return, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We look forward to your return, but make us ready for it. Make us ready for this great end times outpouring, Lord. Open up our minds, our souls, and our bodies to this great end times outpouring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, I'm Pastor Warner, the head pastor of His Will Ministry, and today I just wanted to take a couple of moments to talk to you about a few things on my heart. As His Will Ministry grows, we touch more and more people. And the one thing that I realize is that many of you out there, I may never know your names. I may never see your faces until you and I meet in heaven. And that is the goal of His Will Ministry, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth until our Lord returns. We were told in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." My friend, that is the bottom line for all of us. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That is what the whole purpose and goal of His Will Ministry is to spread the gospel, to teach God's Word, and to bring you into that personal relationship with Jesus.
If I don't see your face, and I don't know your name, no matter where you are in the world, when we live on this earth, if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you live a life for Jesus Christ, and you have that personal relationship with Jesus, then I will see you, my friend. We will embrace arm in arm in heaven when that final day, that final meeting comes. So, my friend, if you do not know Jesus, please, please search the Word and find my Savior and accept Him, realizing your sinful nature, realizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and was resurrected on the third day to conquer sin and death for you and I. Jesus, it's the only way to heaven, my friend. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. God bless.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@HisWillMinistry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@HisWillMinistry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.